evening. Welcome to the call. I'm going to go ahead and light up the video, so bear with me just for a moment. Good evening and welcome to the Tuesday night celebration of life. This is a very exciting time. I'm just turning around to grab my journal from this last weekend. I had the privilege of being at Kevin Hall's Genshai, and for those of you on the camera, you'll be able to see my Genshai journal, Genshai Life Mastery Retreat in Coronado, California. What a wonderful experience. I had the privilege of being the opening speaker on Saturday morning. During this event, we got to hear from Stedman Graham, who is, he says, I'm my own guy, but he's Oprah's partner, from Lisa Nichols from The Secret, Chad Hymas, of course, Kevin Hall, Mark Sanborn, some amazing, wonderful human beings. I just want to share with you a couple of things that came out of this session this weekend that just moved me. Stedman Graham was speaking, and he was saying that it's important that we become aware and that we innovate for us to be relevant in the 21st century. He said, otherwise we'll be a slave for the rest of our lives. He said, we want to transform from being a consumer to a producer, from a follower to a leader. He said, we don't want to work for the world. We want the world to work for us. He said that this is the age of ownership. Ownership of our thoughts, ownership of our actions, ownership of our lives. There is no room left to just show up at work and come home and live a life of mediocrity, because the world has changed. We talk about this in our program. The rules have changed. Did we get to vote? No, we didn't get to vote. The rules have just changed. We're back to connecting with people, honoring human beings, age of ownership, accountability, responsibility. This is a wonderful message coming from a very powerful, gentle giant. He was sharing with us that he played basketball in New Jersey in high school in Whiteboro. He said back then there was a saying that nothing good could come out of this town. Matter of fact, when he got his scholarship to go to college, and I think if any of you have had a chance to listen to Kevin's call 2 or 3 weeks ago, his Aspire call, you may have heard this when Stedman was on there in preparation for this event. He went to Mr. Tia, who owned a store, kind of the local grocery store. He was so excited to tell him about his scholarship, and he shared the story. Mr. Tia said, you can't go to college. Your family is too stupid and you're too dumb. He said that absolutely drove him to not only finish his degree, so they'd come back from road trips. He was playing a college ball. He would stay up all night and study because he was going to graduate. Then he went on to get his master's degree. He says, we can get a job or we can get a life. And what a great opportunity, because the topic for tonight is all about getting a life, actually planning, designing, and executing, and intentionally creating our life. One of the other speakers, Immaculée, who is a survivor of the Rwanda massacre in the mid-90s, she talked on the topic of forgiveness. It was very interesting to have her share how she confronted one of those who had killed her mother, father, brothers, all the neighbors. She hid out in the bathroom of a neighbor's home who happened to belong to the tribe that was doing the killing, but this man took care of her because of his love for her father. 13 women, I think it was 3 months, something like that, 3 months in this bathroom. Oh, it's just a harrowing story of forgiveness, best-selling author. I would highly recommend you go pick up the books from Immaculée, from Stedman Graham, and the other one that caught my attention was from Mark Sanborn, who wrote the book The Fred Factor, Fred the Postman. Now, if you've been involved in customer service, postman who gave absolute exceptional service. He said, this was Fred, quoting Fred, "I did not want to waste a moment in my life. Take care of the moments, you take care of your life." That's a powerful concept. An opportunity for us to see intrinsic validation in practice with Fred, the Fred factor. Well, I came back and Ramona and I have just been so excited to get really clear about our lives. I got so clear coming back that I let go of a frustration I've held now. I've gone through the 4-3 rite of the book, Today I Begin a New Life. It was all laid out and ready to go to the printer. And Sunday when I came back, I said, I've got to take 70 pages out. So I've had a couple sleepless nights, and we'll have another one tonight, so it'll be ready tomorrow to go back in and be relaid out by the end of the weekend so we can still get to the printer on time, because it needed to be shortened. We basically are talking about three foundational principles: connection with people, mental creation, and physical creation. We'll help people learn those three foundational principles, take their assessment, get their measurements, and then we'll give them the others: discipline and structure, joy in the journey, and self-esteem in book number two, which I'm affectionately calling right now, so it's Today I Begin a New Life. It'll be called Today I Shed My Old Skin. I think that'll be a fun second book title. But we want to make this readable and not intimidating and not give everybody just an encyclopedia. But what an exciting thing to take on our lives. What in your life are you hanging on to? You just haven't wanted to surrender. What is it that could be holding you back? I'm discovering so many things in my life that have held me back. And the joy that comes from just letting them go and being able to move forward. May we, as we go through this process tonight, get really clear whether or not we're ready. And let us take action regarding the things that I'm going to share with you. Last week, we talked about three of the four ways in which we use our mind constructively. Remember, not going there today. I'm staying in creation, which means I'm not going to spend any time in fantasy. Because when I go to fantasy, I'm skipping past the work of creation. There's no way that I'll ever get passion from fantasy, because passion is about getting excited about creating, doing the work of creation, so that we can actually have in tangible reality that which we've seen so clearly in our minds. Fantasy can never be big enough. You can't fantasize big enough to ignite passion. So anytime we go from the present into the future and spend time beyond that in vivid visualization, we're in fantasy. We're making the assumption that something has happened and we're now living beyond it instead of focusing on making that thing happen, because everything else is irrelevant until it does. And everything between here and there is still in the future. And so we stay focused on these millimeters of creation. Fantasy is just so deadly. I was writing about it this morning. I won't go there. We spent enough time on fantasy. Catastrophe, that dark dungeon of despair and discouragement. The truth is that in today's economy, we have 97% of those actively seeking abundance that have these very vivid thought processes that cause us to vividly visualize, and the vast majority, 98% of those people, are using these thought processes destructively, and the most common use today is catastrophe. It's, you know, something negative happens, and we just, by the time we get spinning on that, we're in the depths of hell. I mean, we're homeless, everything's over with, we might as well just quit. And some of us actually come and do something based on that catastrophe. The way we act, the way we talk to people, the decisions we make, it's just so deadly. It's not going there today. I'm staying in creation. I'm going to use my mind in a way that I can ignite or manifest, I should say, manifest inspired ideas impressions and solutions to challenges. I was lying in bed Sunday night. It was 10:30. We had a very busy Monday scheduled, and I'm mentally rehearsing the book. And it came with such a strong impression. We got to take 70 pages out. Where do I start? Well, let's go to work. Let's figure it out. That was the impression. But I'm tired. I've been gone all weekend. I've been speaking and traveling. Well, do you want this or not? Of course I do. So just got up and we just wrote. And we wrote and we wrote and we wrote. Nearly till sunrise. That's what you do. You work without counting the cost or tracking the time to create a tangible reality, that which you've seen so clearly in your mind. It ignites something in your brain, and you just gotta go make it happen. Almost everyone, to succeed at the levels required today, will want to know how to ignite this passion. That's why we went through mental rehearsal last week, which is like fantasy. It's as vivid. It's as fluid. It's just we're there for a different reason. We're not there to escape and avoid the rigors of life, and we just want a life of ease and no more stress, no more pain. No, we want to engage. We want to engage in life and embrace principles and connect and serve others and enrich the world, create value and enrich the world. This is what we want. So we go to this vivid visualization, this mental rehearsal, to get clarity and instructions to see clearly that which would bring mutual benefit to us and others. And then we come back and we take action on what we have seen. We talked about inspiration, that opportunity for us to ask if there's anyone I can serve based on my unique experiences. Put them on my path, and I will serve them. And getting those inspirations and acting on them, we talked about exploration. The problem-solving piece, I want to put you through a little bit of an exercise. This problem-solving piece is an interesting. Let me just scroll down here, because I want to use what is going to be in the book as it relates to this topic, because this is such a powerful piece in terms of visualizing and problem solving. Just about there, bear with me just for a moment. I want you to go on a little journey with me. We didn't do the journey last week, did we, on problem solving? No, I don't think so. I coach so many times in the week, I apologize for needing to ask. I want you to remember those times when you had that flash of brilliance. You know, when you kind of sat up in the middle of the night or you're driving your car and bang, that's the answer. That's what I've been looking for. I had one of those last Thursday night while we were flying to San Diego. I've been working on a situation in a business and trying to figure out a solution. And I just stepped back and said, okay, it's got to be mutually beneficial for all parties concerned. Well, that inspiration didn't turn out being the final decision, but it was the inspiration to reach the final decision. So we have these moments where we get a problem solved and goes, wow, that was awesome. However, most of the time, when we're dealing with a difficult problem in our mind, this whopper we have between our brains is constantly churning and chugging. It's also processing dualistically. On your piece of paper, you're taking notes tonight, I want you to create like a polar opposite. You know, Pantone colors have gradations. Gray has a gradation. There's nothing in between these two. It is either or. All, nothing. Right, wrong. Life, death. Just polar opposites. That's how our systemic thoughts process. This can drive us crazy. We can need to be right. We crush people. But it also can be used for its natural strength, giving it a problem. If it hasn't been solved, it cannot stop until it solves it. We just want to make sure we give it problems that can be solved. Well, taking a look at this, I remember having this moment, this mental rehearsal about this concept. And in this mental rehearsal, I envisioned you, just to see if you can see yourself here, inside like a fortress. No windows, no doors, there's no roof, but it's a big rock wall fortress, 3-foot-thick walls. And we're trying to break out or break through because the answer to the problem we're struggling with is on the outside. We can't get to it. I just want you to envision yourself in this place. Now, I want you to look down to your right there in the tall grass and notice that there's a ladder. I want you to pick up the ladder. It's an extension ladder. Extend it and lean it up against the wall and begin climbing up the ladder. And all of a sudden your head just breaks above the wall, and you climb up and you stand on this wall. It's sturdy, there's plenty of space, it's safe to stand there for a moment. And let this breeze, this cool breeze, blow over your face and body. Look out over the vistas, the mountains, the peaks, all the possibilities. Oh my goodness, this is wonderful. Now I want you to take your arms and stretch them out. Palms down. I want you to push your palms against the gravity of the challenge that you're facing. Push down. Just feel it's almost palpable. As you push down, I want you to feel your feet lift off of the wall. That's kind of cool. Okay, now do it again. Now push down. Now push down again. Now push down again until you can feel yourself flying. I want you to invite the power of creation to fly with you. If you've got any doubt or fear or questions about worthiness, I want you to jettison those ideas. Just let them go. I want you to bank to the left and bank to the right in between these peaks and valleys. Now land on one of the peaks. Just land. I want you to reflect on the situation you want to resolve and ask these three questions. What can I create? Okay. How can I create that? And lastly, how will that serve? Now, as you ponder these questions, consider everyone that's involved in the problem or the challenge. And put yourself into each one of their shoes. And look at you. What do they see? You don't agree with what they see. Just see what they see. How are they looking at you? How are they looking at the situation? Are we being accountable? Responsible? Now let your mind wander. And follow it. It's going to wander all over the mountain place. Mountainside, excuse me. It's most likely going to find a treasure trove, maybe. When it comes back, just reflect on where it was. There's probably something significant. Your mind is very, very powerful. When you're ready, put your hands out again, push down, lift off again. Each time it's getting easier because there's less and less baggage of fear and doubt and worthiness questions. Start soaring again. Now fly back to your home. Don't go into the fortress this time. Just land down by the side of it and get a good night's sleep. And in the morning, see if anything's coming to your mind. A couple weeks from now, look back and see how much progress you've made by staying in creation. Your mind has the capacity to effortlessly think through a myriad of challenges and solutions to those challenges, so long as it's not engaged in that dark dungeon of despair and discouragement. That will just paralyze it. We want to be able to be fully present in our mind. It's like the now is the tangible reality, our mind. We can be fully present in our mind, free of that burden. Not going over there today. I'm going to stay in creation. I'm going to stay in flight. Now, this chapter is going to be in the book under problem solving. It's in mental creation. being it today, and then I thought, no, this is too critical right now for us to have an exercise to actually get us into this frame of mind. So enjoy that when the book comes out. The last part of the day, tonight, we're going to be discussing goal setting. Goal setting's an interesting challenge because the truth is we'll go through it tonight, and there's a very good chance that we may not do anything. If we do not, there's a very good chance that 12 months from now, things won't be much different, or they could be much worse. Remember, this is the age of ownership. We own our life. We own our decisions. Let us make one of those decisions tonight to take on this exercise. Goal setting is not about to-do lists. You know, we want to lose weight, or this is about a vision, a mission, and a clear direction to help us understand better why we're doing what we're doing each day. So that when we awake in the morning, we know what's most important. And that's where we're focused. Is this going to bring me one step closer to my dream? And what happens if that thing is something unpleasant? What do I do then? Because my dream's contingent on me actually doing this. Or am I going to let life distract me, keep me busy, 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 instead of creating? I get to be busy. There's no awards for being busy. There's no statues. There's no bonuses. There are no benefits for being busy. We want to be in creation. So I'm going to walk you through this process. We're going to start with a relationship. Today I made the decision to move the partnership section of Joy in the Journey up to this piece because we start with creating a partnership. If we're in a relationship or want to be in a relationship, we're going to want to understand these principles. If you're not in one, actually it could be great because as you're dating and selecting a companion, this could become part of the discussion, part of the plan, putting it together and making the decision. If we're in a relationship now and we have a partner who's not interested, those of you who are looking for a partner, talk to one of these people. You don't want to get in one of those relationships because that's not very fun. If we're in one, I do believe that we can infect a relationship for good by the way in which we show up. But if you're in an abusive relationship, emotionally, physically abusive relationship, just know that what we're about to talk about does not apply. Now, I want to be careful that it's not because we've needed to be right or they've needed to be right. We don't want to throw this away. We just don't want to be asking someone to make the sacrifices I'm going to discuss tonight in an abusive relationship that's not healthy. I would ask you to get some assistance from a clergy, the law, a therapist, someone who can guide you through these decisions, because you do not need to do it alone, although it can be very lonely to be in an abusive relationship. Assuming that's not the case for tonight, we want to talk about how do we take this exercise and create something with it. Hogg writes, my dreams are worthless. That's a bold statement. My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. So we'll want to create the plan and then act on it. But if it's a have-to, should, and must plan, we won't do it. Not for a sustained period of time. This is a life plan. This is a dream board for our life. A dream board that's going to be indelibly imprinted on our mind. Now, you can put it on a board if you want to. You can put it in your journal if you want to. Dream boards, unfortunately, when we fantasize, become daily destinations. We want this to become a target. This is where we're headed, and this is what we'll want to do to get there. That's dreaming. Got a dream, a vision, and a plan for accomplishing it. That's goal setting. Dreaming with a plan for getting there is goal setting. Dreaming without a plan is called fantasizing. Period. And if we've got this to-do list of everything I have to do that really weighs on me, and I've got this huge dream, and there's nothing connecting the two, you just know you're in fantasy. That will never produce the passion required to drive the action needed to create it. So we want to go back and make sure we're in mental rehearsal, exploration, inspiration, problem solving, because we're going to use all four of those in our goal setting exercise to get clear on where it is that we're headed. So just know, dreaming with a plan is called goal setting. Dreaming without a plan is called fantasizing. Well, let's get into this creation of a loving and committed relationship. I have my sweetheart sitting next to me. We're getting ready to celebrate our 37th wedding anniversary, and it is thrilling to be in a partnership. A partnership from a legal perspective. I'm going to read to you this quote. The word partnership means joint heirs. When we apply the legal definition of an equal partnership to a relationship, we discover that companions who choose to create a partnership have equal rights, equally shared decision-making powers, yet several liability. This means that the vote of each person when making a decision for the partnership carries the same weight, yet each person is individually responsible for the success or failure of the entire partnership. So we get half the vote and full responsibility, but both are fully responsible. It's a very interesting concept. Both have to give 100%, not just of themselves, but for the whole partnership. This is an awesome commitment. How do we pull this off? Because we'll want to do some very special things. I wrote a poem that's going to be in the book entitled The Ladder. The question I ask is, if we have been or are currently in a relationship, what is it like to live life next to us? Have our thoughts been focused on our needs, or have they been focused on the needs of our partner? In our relationship, have we been a giver or a taker, a peacekeeper or a scorekeeper, a builder or a fixer? Do we dig for reasons to compliment, or do we give unwanted digs? Do we encourage our partner to have a voice, or do we insist on being right? Do we encourage bilateral decisions, or do we need to be in control? Do we focus on resolving differences or on stubbornly clinging to opinions? Do we let go of offenses or harbor hurts? Are we grateful or resentful? While pondering what it's like to live life next to me, I wrote these words. It says, at times, I'm frustrated, angry, annoyed. At times, I'm depressed and can't fill the void. At times, I'm tired of working so hard every day. At times, I'm withdrawn and have nothing to say. At times, I feel ill from living in fear. Yeah, that's true. At times, I feel inferior, uncertain, unclear. At times, I feel insignificant, a dead fly on the floor. At times, I feel impoverished, left wanting for more. At times, I'm overconfident, overindulgent, and loud. At times, I'm complacent, lazy, thoughtlessly proud. At times, I am wealthy as worldly things go. At times, I'm undoubtedly the star of the show. Then there are times when when my awareness is heightened, I climb out of the maze and my eyes are enlightened. Oh, the price that is paid by Ramona to live life next to me. May I climb up the ladder more often and see. As we start to put together our goal setting, let us ponder. Last paragraph I'll read from this. Far too many relationships are plagued with hurtful and often harmful innuendo, sarcasm, the need to be right, unnecessary competition, and idle gossip. Do we believe that criticism improves performance? Do we value all contributions to the partnership, whether performed in a place of business or in the home? Does our mate feel more like an employee, a laborer, housekeeper, nanny, or roommate? Do we ever share intimate and private details about our companion when in conversations with close friends? It is so easy to become complacent, comfortable, controlling, and even critical. These wedges can rip apart good relationships and prevent the possibility of partnership. If we have allowed any of these sharp and cutting devices to creep into our relationship, it is time for a new direction. Well, that's where we're headed, a new direction tonight. We're going to start by mentally rehearsing what it'll be like to be in this relationship, and I want you to go out 5 or 10 or 20 years. Ramona and I selected age 85. That's just our selection. For some reason, that age resonates with us. Just want you to just close your eyes for a moment. Just envision this time period, 5, 10, 20 years, 30 years from now. And ask yourself, where are we? Where are we? What's the condition of our finances, our health, our relationship? You're saying, well, am I making this up? Well, most of us have engaged in fantasy a few times, and you don't have to make it up. It just flows if we really want to be there. If we really want to take our relationship and create a partnership, we really like to have tenderness and love. Let us go there with that hunger for that kind of a relationship, and let us see the possibilities. When I do that, I can see myself holding Ramona's hand, sitting on two chairs on the deck overlooking the lake. I can feel the sacrifices that have been made. The times when we might have been tempted and overcame the temptation. And as you think about this going forward, don't beat yourself up for anything that's happened in the past. This is from today's date. It's January 10th, right? So from January 10th to whenever this date is, this is what you're envisioning. Faithfulness, sacrifice, love, tenderness, caring, intrinsic validation. What has that done to your relationship? How are you feeling about one another in this place? Let us get clear. This may sound like a strange way to spend time in a mental rehearsal, but we've all thought about what it'd be like to have our debts paid off and no more stress, no more pain, totally secure, very common phrase. Or to have that dream home or car or lifestyle or cabin or whatever it might be. We've all done something in our mind. We're going to want to spend some time, not just tonight, but some time playing out some things that we have done or going to do between January 10th, 2012, and this date in the future. What did we do so that we were in that financial situation? What did we do so that our relationship is in that state? What did we do so that we are healthy? What did we do? This is when we start to get inspired ideas and impressions and solutions to challenges. And if there is a power greater than us, and there is, and we actually want to find out how to create this kind of a relationship and show up in the intentional creation of it, I can promise you that power will show you ways you can do it. You'll get as excited about this as you ever did to get about a Ferrari, a fantasy Ferrari, because you're actually going to create these pieces. It doesn't matter what we do from here if we haven't done this. This is what ignites our passion. Looking to our sweetheart's eyes. Feeling this lifetime of sacrifice and love. Tough times, sometimes maybe tough health times. But we're here. What did we do? Because the goal-setting exercise with that vision is to put some structure to that vision. That's all. We're just going to put some structure to it. Now, I know that 99.5% of those on the phone naturally resist structure. This is a little bit of a challenge. So just know that you won't be able to create and maintain the structure without a vision that ignites your passion. So if you want to spend some time in preparation before you do the rest of the planning for how to create this, spend some time in this place. Spend some time here. Don't put any financial restrictions on it, because we'll do the same thing with our business. We'll get a vision and we'll create it. And if we've got a plan to do something in a relationship, there's one reason why we might work a little longer, stay a little bit more focused, stay beyond normal quitting time, and create an insurmountable advantage over those who stop at a prescribed time. We are going to do the little extra, the working without counting the cost and tracking the time, to do what's ever necessary to generate the revenue to do that activity, whatever it might be. So the vision is the critical piece. The plan is simply putting structure to it, so that we can intentionally take the actions necessary to create that outcome. It won't be a mistake. I know when Ramon and I are sitting there at age 85, it will not have been a mistake. We will have worked through and will continue to work through very difficult situations. That's so she'll, I'm knocking on wood, so she'll keep putting up with me while I'm working on refining me. She's chuckling. And justifiably so. Okay, let's put some structure. So you'll have an idea of how the structure works, but you want to have the vision. Now some may never have done this before. Especially guys. We are just often so narcissistic, so focused on ourselves. We just fix everybody, and we want the world to revolve around us. And everybody's here to serve us and to help us create our goals. That's very common, and at varying degrees. That's very common. I'm going to encourage every guy on this phone who's in a relationship tonight to awake in the middle of the night and just watch their companion breathe. Watch them breathe. And imagine what they might be dreaming about. Imagine what it was like for them to be with you the previous day. What's on their schedule coming up this next day? They're not a robot that gets plugged in the morning. They don't have a battery that gets charged. This is a living, breathing human being. Are we lifting and building? Are we encouraging? What are we doing? Let us begin this process. It may be gradual, but let us begin this process. If you're a woman listening and your man is not listening, you may not be able to put this entire plan into place, but you can part of it. I'm going to start tonight in opposite order because I want to go in the order in which it can be implemented. Number one, on a daily basis, We're going to want to do some little acts of kindness. That might be a note. It might be holding someone for an extra moment or two. It was this afternoon, just to give you an example, not for any other reason than it just happened. I went in, Ramona's sitting at her desk, and I said, "Sweetheart, can I just hug you? Just hold her for a moment. Tender moment." How many of those did we have today? Did we create one? We want to make absolutely sure we intentionally create a moment. Perhaps one like that. Perhaps one where we sit and just listen. Both companions. What was your day like? I don't really want to talk about it. But don't interrogate. This isn't about interrogation. It's about connection. Just be available for each other. And make sure we have some of that time. One of my clients, Sue Paletti, what a sweetheart. Sue wrote me an article one day. She said, I went home, and I was working on getting my husband into this idea of a few things that we could actually start planning. And he agreed to do this one, something on a daily basis. They came up with an idea they called the 10-second kiss, where you take a moment during the day, and you just hold each other, and you kiss for 10 seconds. Yahoo!
Yeehaw!
Wow, it just lights a fire. It's just unbelievable. She says, like, dating again. Yeah, it is. Just igniting that romance in a relationship. That'd be a great idea. Doing a few little things. Doing something we normally might not do. Surprising someone. Just doing a little thing on a daily basis, an act of kindness. With this comes every day. When we're tempted to say something in anger, we choose not to say it. We just don't say it. Why would we ever speak something like that to our companion when today we are building the next millimeter of the relationship we've seen so clearly in our mind? Let us be the one who lets go of the resentment and the frustration, who looks for the good. Scroll 2. I will dig, if necessary, for reasons to compliment. I will not scratch for excuses to gossip or to criticize. Every day. Let's make the commitment from this day forward, best we can. Because a day without a sour comment, without that little jab, that little innuendo, is a really good day in a relationship. No, this is daily. Most of us can do an act of kindness. Matter of fact, you can do this without your mate involved, being involved. You can do these little acts. The next is on a weekly basis, and this is going to take some agreement from a companion. It's called a non-negotiable date night. Now, this doesn't have to be a big formal event. It just needs to be scheduled. It just needs to happen. This is time you're blocking out just for the two of you. Turn off the phones and just be together. Hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Our date night is typically Friday night unless we're out speaking. We want to spend some time in an evening just being together. That's a non-negotiable date night. I remember we had little kids at home and money was tight. We still went on a date. This was advice that was given to us early on, and it has served us well. You want to have a non-negotiable date night. I'm often surprised how many couples who've been married for a number of years are not doing this. This is so critical. There's so many things that can happen over the course of a week to pull people apart. We want to have a very formal moment when we can be pulled together. Not formal in the sense that you're dressed in a tuxedo and a gown and going to a formal dinner. No, just dedicated time. So that's weekly. Monthly. Try to spend a day together somewhere. It could be here at home. Try to get away from the kids if you have kids. Get creative. Use your mental rehearsal, exploration, problem solving to see if you can't come up with a solution. You're creative. If you truly want to spend a day together, you'll figure it out. Maybe you trade with another couple. You watch their kids on 1 week, and they watch yours the next so that you can spend this one day together. Quarterly. You want to have a retreat of maybe at least a night away from home. Doesn't need to be expensive, it just needs to happen. Well, we can't afford a hotel. Then we're going to do some goal setting on business so you can start generating the revenue to cover this expense. That's quarterly. Annually, do your very best to schedule as close to a week as you can. About a week. Just away. We all need someone to love us and someone to love and something to look forward to. We can almost all do what almost anything that's required. If we know that once a week we're going to get away, once a month we're going to get away, once a quarter, once a year. At the end of this segment, I'm going to read you this paragraph. It reads, can you think of a single practice more important in the day than creating these moments and memories? If you and your companion connect on a daily basis, have a non-negotiable date night each week, invest an entire day each month devoted to serving one another, get away every quarter for 2 days, and spend 1 week a year together away from the world, what are the chances you'll keep challenges in proper perspective, respond with kindness and love, minimize the cold moments of silence, more quickly break through to the light of understanding, and eventually realize in tangible reality the relationship of your dreams? Dreams don't just happen. Success doesn't just happen. Happiness doesn't just happen. All of these are intentionally created. Well, take it in bite-sized pieces depending on your relationship. Start with getting a vision and then putting this plan together, and don't try to fix a companion. Don't try to force. Look, we need to have a great relationship. We're going to do this, dang it. We don't want to bring that energy to our relationships. Be patient. There's time. For most of you, there's time. And if we want to have a better partnership, the greatest secret is to become a better partner. Okay. Let's move to business in the last few minutes that we have, because it's very, very simple. Very simple concept. On a piece of paper, number one, write down how much money you'd like to make this year, 2012. How much money would you like to make in 2012? Get really clear. Once you're clear, write down how much money you made in 2011 and get really clear. I'll compare the two. Is the desire in 2012 significantly higher than 2011? How much higher? 10%? 20%? 30%? 40%? 50%? Or more? I'm going to encourage you to make it just 50% for right now. You can always raise the goal as soon as it's reached, but 50% increase. Make that number three. So, one, how much would I like to make? Two, how much did I make last year? Three, what's a 50% increase of last year's income? No more than a 50%. Could be 5%, 10%, but make it no more than 50. Then I want you to get a really clear vision of what you're going to do with that extra money. You can start by thinking, gosh, if I had that extra 50% in my bank account tonight, what would be different? In terms of the bills that are due this month? In terms of a current mortgage situation or car payments? What would be different? In terms of a plan that you're putting together with a companion, what would be different? In terms of children, if you have them, other responsibilities, things you'd like to do, travel, what would be different? Get excited about this. If your desire is to make considerably more than 1.5%, a 50% increase, this may be a moment of discouragement, because there's a very good chance you've already spent that larger amount in your mind, and it's very vivid. That makes it hard to cut back. It makes it feel like we're losing. Gosh, is it really worth it? Well, when that extra 50% is actually in your bank account, it will be worth it. So once we get clear, and again, it's vision. Without this vision and being excited about what we would do with that 50% increase, or no more than a 50% increase, then we're going to make the most critical step in goal setting in terms of business. We're going to convert the dollar amount we want to earn to the number of people we'll want to impact. That's the conversion. This is the secret that unleashes unbelievable energy in the universe. Partnership with the power of creation is when our focus shifts from making the money to serving the people. In my example, I said, okay, that's 52, that's one a week. Okay, then what are we going to do every day to find that one person? What are we going to do? Every month, every quarter, what are we going to do? We can start to bring into play mental rehearsal. Go to the stage of our mind and start to imagine that we're at an event speaking and we're meeting the people and we find out about them. We mentally rehearse programs where we might go to like a BNI, a networking group. This is assuming we're in business for ourselves. If we're have a retail store, we start envisioning and exploring possibilities for advertising or creative ways of advertising that won't cost us a great deal of money. The greatest inventions show up in these moments. The greatest ideas show up in these moments. They ignite our passion, we go and take action, and we find the people. They're placed on our path because we're actually walking on the path. We're actually doing the work of and interested. We're stepping into people's worlds. We're making connections without agendas. Conversations are natural and authentic. And we start to be surprised just how things can unfold when we truly are showing up in the service of others. That's business. It's that simple. Getting clear on what you want to do, what you're going to do with it, and converting it to people, and then focusing the rest of your time on how many people like that will I want to impact. Then everything about our day is terms of our business. We wake up in the morning, we consider our companion if we have one, what am I going to do today to lift and build and encourage? Little tender moment. What am I doing in terms of planning the weekly date? Do I need to get anything organized so that can happen? The quarterly, monthly event, the quarterly event, the annual event? Okay, I'm covered there. What am I going to do today to find this one person, in my example, one a week, 52 for the year? It might be more or less for you. What am I going to do? Getting clear and then going and executing. This will get us to meetings we normally wouldn't have gone to. This will get us in conversations with people we would have normally not talked to. That's what this does for us. It opens us up from have to and should and must, fear of consequences, or strategic conversations, or throwing up on people's walls, to actually caring about people. Gosh, I wonder if this is one of those people that I'm supposed to serve. I wonder if. Totally different conversation. Well, it's that simple. There's goal setting. Business. Now you've got intricacies in your business and different places you advertise and things you do. Build them all in. But it will not matter if we don't have a clear vision of our income strategy and converting it to people and beginning the process of looking for people that we want to change. Because if we're just about the money, it will be discernible when we're talking to the people. And today, no, not today. The only people susceptible to that kind of an approach are weak people. And typically, they don't have a lot of money because they've been susceptible to that kind of a sales technique and it's drained them of their assets. You want to talk to good people who can buy your services, your products? Your business can benefit financially from them being involved? Well, show up and serve really good people, and it will happen. in your relationship, just know that the plan is of no value without the vision. And of all the places we've had visions, it's been my discovery in coaching that this is often the very last place we've actually had one. We get all excited and all romantic and we get married or we decide that we're going to be committed companions, whatever the arrangement may be. And all of a sudden we get stuck in life without a vision. Of all the things we do in business and life, companionships, relationships are often the last place we go into vivid visualization about possibilities once the relationship has been established. That's really tragic, isn't it? One of the most critical places in our lives are relationships. Often the last place, other than when things aren't going well, then we might be visualizing what it would be like if we were someplace else with someone else. Yeah, we could do that. What would happen if we started using this vivid visualization there? Well, I'm going to encourage you tonight to do so. Because if everything's okay in your relationships, the rest of life works really, really well. When they're not, life gets really, really complicated. So take this on this week. Don't just let this slide by tonight and move on to the next topic next Tuesday night. Work on this one. Start making it an active part of your life so that you can live from a vision in your relationships and in your business. Now continue with scroll number 8. I'll multiply my value 100-fold. Because this is how we do it. We engage the power of creation in the process. And we plant ourselves in the darkness of the soil. We sucker the seed. It sprouts into 100 grains of wheat. And us, a single grain, has turned into 100. 100-fold, we've multiplied our value by having a clear vision that ignites passion that drives our actions. May we do so. We look forward to be back with you next Thursday night when we take on discipline and structure, those really noisy thought processes that... Oh, so physical creation. Thank you, sweetheart. I almost jumped ahead. Physical creation. We've got the vision now. Now we're going to take this passion into tangible reality, this place where we live, and start taking the actions. We're going to talk about how to jump first and have peace second, how to overcome procrastination and fear, and to be in passion-driven, vision-driven, mission-driven action. We'll look forward to being back with you next week. Have a wonderful night and a very productive and successful week as you decide to make this the age of ownership. Own your life. Take responsibility for what you're creating with it and create something magnificent. Thanks, everyone.